We're going to start with Rav Schwab's comments on Vel Yerushalayim Ircha by popular request from the Sefer Lefan of Navot, which has so many gems in it that it was kedai for us to learn tefillah just to be able to find the Sefer that has so much. So he talks about a very famous story. It's famous because it earned probably worldwide recognition when this happened. The Washington Post had a little test, a little experiment, and they sent somebody to go into a subway station, right? You heard of this? No. Good. To play there, and, you know, they put out a bucket, and they put out a bucket to collect some money, and people passing by. So everybody, you know, hundreds and thousands of people in, let's say, Times Square or Union Station in Washington, D.C. We'll say it was Washington Post. It was probably Union Station or Metro Center, something like that within the Metro line. Everybody's passing by. Nobody recognizes that it was the world-renowned musician for this instrument.
I think it was Shlomo Linsky.
No, that doesn't sound right. It was a kinnor, harp, huh?
It's been done with a violin.
It's been done with different instruments.
One of the contemporary, of course, Jewish violinists.
You could Google, I mean, you'll Google this in 5 seconds. It is a very famous story. So everybody's rushing by. Nobody's paying any attention to the fact that this is the world-renowned musician that's performing in the middle for free. People would pay hundreds of dollars to hear this guy in a concert, but for 5 seconds they don't have because they're rushing to wherever they're going on the train. They're afraid of catching the train, of missing the train. Nobody pays attention. Everybody hears it. They put a little bit of money. Nobody really appreciated it. And then what the newspaper wanted to do, it wanted to show that sometimes we're in such a rush in life that we don't pay attention to what's around us. So sometimes it takes Chas v'shalom, something terrible, a tragedy. It takes a beautiful, breathtaking sunset. When was the last time something took your breath away? Can't even remember.
Probably Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Probably Puerto Rico. There's some really beautiful things going on.
Like a waterfall?
Oh, just in general. I mean, it's a beautiful place.
It's a nature.
It was before the...
Right. Nature takes your breath away.
The trees going up the parkway on Sunday were...
Yes, they were.
Joshua Bell?
Yes.
Yes.
Joshua Bell. What was he playing?
The
violin. That's right. Thank you. What? No, I remember it. It's you know how many rabbis use those? It's that story in the context of a drasha. It's a very famous story. I knew it was Metro Center. So things take what takes our breath away religiously. So we learn about Yerushalayim. Maybe we live there, maybe we visit there, but do we know how powerful it is? The spiritual capacity, the potential that exists there. Now, when people live there, right? So we go to Eretz Yisrael on a trip. It's a special occasion. You go to the Kotel. You go, you know, and oh, wow, it takes your breath away. People who live there, they're zocha to live there all year round, they take it for granted. We take a lot of things for granted. Avram Avinu, the Medrash tells us, Avram Karo, so Yireh. Shenem Arva, Yikra Avraham Shem HaMakom HaHu, Hashem Yireh. Hashem is seen at that place in Har HaMoriah. Shem Karo, so Shalem. Right? Noach's son, Shem, called it Shalem, Yir Shalem. Malki Tzedek was Melech Shalem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imkore Ani Oso Yireh, Kishem Shekaro Oso Avraham. So I'm going to call it the way Avraham did. Yireh, Shem, Adam Tzadik Mitzrayim. And a Tzadik called it Shem. And Imkore Ani Oso Shalem, or I'll call it Shalem, Avraham Adam Tzadik Mitzrayim. If I call it by Shalem, then Avram's going to be upset. How come you're using his name? And then Shem's going to be upset. How come you're using Avram's name? Ela Hareini Kara So Yerushalayim Kimo Shekaru Shneihem. I'm going to call it the city that they both called it, Yireh Shalem Yerushalayim, which is to signify that Yerushalayim really is the city of compromise, not to compromise, the city of unity. That we don't try and divide each other in the city of Yerushalayim, as much as sometimes it happens, unfortunately, and it's because the stakes are so high, because everybody wants to have their vision of unity in Yerushalayim rather than really working towards that as a goal. After the Akedah, Avram Avinu called the place Yireh, but before that, Hashem called it Shalem. So why did Hashem call it Yireh Shalem? It should have been Shalem Yireh. Now that sounds funny because we know it as Yerushalayim, but we only know it because as Yerushalayim because that's the way Hashem referred to it. But if Hashem would have started out saying Shalem Yireh, so then, oh, Shalem Yireh, Yireh Kodesh. So why did Hashem reverse it if chronologically Shalem came first? Rather, Shem understood that if in its beauty and its holiness, it's Shalem. And so therefore, Shalem is a lashon of Shlemos. But Avram Avinu understood that Hashem wasn't giving us the Shlemos really. It's not just about the wholeness that it exists there. Rather, it says, Rishwam, b'la Shlemos ha-makom hu-kedei lazer la-adam la-hagia le-shlemuso. It's so that we can see Hashem, Yireh, we see God in this place, and as a result of that, we become Shalem. It's not that Hashem has Shalem in that place, or that this place has a sense of Shlemos. It is Shalem because it has, in an ideal state, is able to host Hashem Shechina, Hashem's presence dwells there. But it's really about us, how we're able to react to that. And therefore, v'lechein Avram kara l'makom Hashem Yireh, Avram calls this place Hashem Makom Shakadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol Roa Mikarav Yoser as Masei Ha'adam VeAvodaso. It's the place that Hashem can see closer. I remember when I was younger, someone once explained it to me as a local telephone call to God. Right? We just daven Mariv. All of us had a direct channel, but where does the phone line go? The phone line has to dray around. It's New Jersey, then it goes through New York, then the intercontinental cable, it has to go across the Atlantic, then it goes through Europe, ultimately arriving in Asia, Eretz Yisrael, goes up the pipeline at the Kotel, straight up to the Kisei HaKavod. It's a long journey. Still a direct phone call, but it's long distance. They don't have long distance anymore. It's international. It sounds a little bit different. Yerushalayim, Yesh Pachos Mechitza Ben Ha'adam LaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Schwab. There's less of a separation. Right? You feel it closer. Hashem is right there. Kal Yoser, it's easier. Lahargish Sham as Kirvas Hashem. To feel the closeness that a human being can feel when approaching God. That really is a very powerful feeling. To be able to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu despite everything else that's going on in this world. Now, we spoke about it on Shabbos, the challenge that sometimes we feel of not feeling that sense of closeness, feeling a sense of richuk, that whether something happened to me personally or something happened to somebody in my life, and I feel distant, knowing that I can come back, whether, and that's really the significance of davening in a Bitzibor, in a Beis Knesses, is that this is a Mikdash Ma'at. Rather than davening at home, rather than davening in a breakaway minyan, the shul is the place that Chazal understood and taught us has this potential to come as close as we can without being in Yerushalayim. There are people who live in Yerushalayim and don't go to the Kotel because the Beis HaMikdash is not there. It's a shul that's a Mikdash Ma'at, the place where you learn. We learn here, we daven here, we do a lot of Avodas Hashem here. This is the place to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a little bit of of Yerushalayim. Let's continue with the Es Tzemach David. So it's interesting, the Lashon of this bracha, the choice that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola had in phrasing this bracha as Es Tzemach David, that Hashem should cause the outgrowth of David to sprout forth. Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehira Satzmiach. This double Lashon, this redundant expression, not redundant, double expression of sprouting. What is that all about? How do you understand it?
Well, grammatically, it makes sense. The offspring should flourish.
So you're suggesting that the offspring of David HaMelech was the king. We know that Mashiach is going to come from the descendants of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to come from the descendants of David HaMelech. And so therefore, we want the offspring of David HaMelech to flourish, thereby bring about Mashiach. So you're pointing out something that Chazal like to do, which is that we try to end the bracha in the same way that we started. There has to, you know, it's a nice way to balance the bracha. You start off talking about Tzamach, and you end off talking about Tzamach. That's a nice poetic device. It helps us focus and ground ourselves in this bracha, because whatever is in the middle is on either bookend is talks about Tzamach, of something sprouting. There's another idea. What is it about a sprout? So the Pasuk tells us, the Navi, tells us in a couple of places, Zechariah, Yirmiyahu, Ki hinani mevius avdi tzemach, that I'm bringing my servant tzemach, the flourishing one. And also in Yirmiyahu, Hakimosi leDavid tzemach tzadik, that Hashem is going to establish a righteous sprout for David. And then in Tehillim, Shama tzmiach keren leDavid, that I'm going to cause pride to sprout for David HaMelech. So what is it? I think it was the Pesach Trasha, probably 3 years ago. We're getting into the winter time now. Before it gets too cold, some people plant things. They plant flowers. Now in the middle, in a month or two from now, when the temperature is close to zero or sub-zero, and it's cold, and it looks like there's nothing going on, and the snow could be covering the ground, still, there's something going on deep, deep down. And the plant is being nurtured by the rainwater, by the snow, is being covered and protected by the snow from the elements, the cold air that's blowing around it outside. And it's able to continue to hydrate the seeds and allow it to sustain itself through those dark, cold months of the winter. So that, for those of us who are in Zocha to go to Florida and have to suffer, we know that as difficult as it is here, in another couple of weeks, it could be 6, 8, 12, 16 weeks, at some point, those bulbs that we planted in the fall are going to begin to come out because we've been nourishing them. And that's the hope. When you see that little green leaf, that bud cracking through the surface of the earth, coming up, so would you say that's it? Okay, my hope has been restored. My faith is now active. I see everything that's coming out. No, that's just the beginning. You wait for it to continue to flourish, but it's a slow process. It's something that begins in the fall and only continues through the winter, culminating and flourishing in a full bloom, perhaps in June or July. This is a very, very long process. Mashiach is called Tzemach, or an outgrowth of David, because it's like a seed that's germinating in the ground, and it takes a long time for it to be able to develop itself from that dry seed into something that has a life force in it. It's rejuvenating. It's able to crack through the ground and able to grow up nice and tall. Mashiach also, the trajectory of Mashiach is a slow but steady one. That's why there are those who hope and believe that the establishment of Eretz Yisrael, of the State of Israel, was Reishis Tzemichas Geula Seinu, that it was the beginning of the sprouting of our Geula, of our redemption. Now, some could say, look at what's happened in the past 70 years. It doesn't look very redemptive at this point. But that others say, no, Shetehei Reishis Tzemichas Geula Seinu, that it should be the beginning, sprouting of our redemption. And just as a tiny seed gradually grows bit by bit until it breaks through the ground and develops into a fully grown tree, so is the coming of Mashiach an ongoing and slowly developing process, which will not stop until the actual Bias Mashiach becomes a reality. And that's why sometimes things get cold in Galus, and it's hard to see where is the Tzmichas, where is the outgrowth. Right. And even though it takes time and we have to wait and it seems like it's waiting, but every once in a while there's a glimmer of, you know, that sprouting. And maybe it's not as quickly and as developed as we'd like, but so too, that Tzemach David develops and grows as the result. How does a sapling or a seed grow? With water. Says Rav Schwab, the tears that we cry in Galus, water for the Tzemach, for the seedling of Mashiach. It's tough. It's hard to cry so many tears. But we continually daven for the Binyan Yerushalayim. That is the beginning of that bracha. The Karnotarim Bishu Asecha. And the horn should be raised through Hashem's salvation. It doesn't say the Karnotarim, that you should raise its horn, but rather Tarum, it shall be raised. And that the sense of this phrase in the tefillah is that the horn of Mashiach will rise only through Hashem's Yeshua, when Hashem wants to bring the salvation, because an animal expresses its power by goring its perceived enemy with its horns. And so the horn, you have to use force. In addition to meaning horn, the word karen also could mean a ray, right? Kikaran or Pnei Moshe, that Moshe's face at Matan Torah, when he came down from Har Sinai, was radiant. It was this light. That's why the non-Jewish artistic renditions show Moshe with horns. Jews have horns. It's not a horn. It's the light of Torah. It's the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'ereinenu b'sarasecha. Hashem should illuminate the rays of light when a person is b'simcha.
My first roommate in college asked me where my horns were.
What'd you say?
I said...
You left them at home. You cover them up. So the people could perceive the spiritual rays of light that emanated from Moshe's face. So the future of Mashiach, as did Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, has this dual role. First, he's going to bring order. V'hika eretz v'sheva piv of ruach zafas of yamis rasha. He strikes the world with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He slays the wicked, the Navi Yeshaya tells us. And that means that Mashiach is not going to be some sort of Superman who simply overpowers and overtakes the wicked, the Rishayim in this world, but rather uses tefillah as his staff, as his guide, and asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Rishayim, the wicked, should cease to exist, and they will. Hashem is going to cause the horn of Melech HaMashiach to rise by empowering him to rid the world of Rishayim. And the other function of the future Melech HaMashiach will be his spiritual influence. That's what we davened for, we said a couple of brachos ago, that there are those Nevi'im, and then when we're not Zocha to a Navi, so then we have to have Yoatzim. Hashiva Shoftinu Kavirisha Navi Yoatzim. The Shoftim were the ones who would give us Halacha, but sometimes we don't listen. We do our own thing, we check out. So then we only are Zocha to Yoatzim. We're Zocha to advisors who can guide us and tell us, maybe you should go this way, but not without the full-fledged force that a Shofet has. When Mashiach comes, The Melech HaMashiach is going to purify us, like Moshe Rabbeinu is going to radiate this spiritual light to Bnei Yisrael, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, cause a mass tshuva movement, ve'amech kulam tzadikim, so that we should be zocha to live up to the description that all of Hashem's nation, all of the members of Klal Yisrael are going to be righteous. And so the horn, this keren, the karno torim Yeshua secha, the horn refers to Mashiach in his dual role. That of the destroyer of the Rishayim, and of the mentor of the Jewish people by enlightening them with their spiritual rays of the Torah and bringing them back to the Ribono Shel Olam. Yes? The Rishas. We've spoken about that several times. Right? We don't daven for people to die, we daven for their bad behaviors to be wiped out. Uh-huh. Right. The image of a horn, you've learned Bava Kamma, right? What does an animal do with its horn? It causes destruction, and it roots out. So maybe after you're gored, if you haven't died of internal injuries, you realize, I did something wrong, I have to do tshuva. It can also lift something up. It can uplift with its horns. Perhaps that's what it's referring to. The line of the descent of Mashiach is very interesting. First, we start with Peretz. Peretz was the son of Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda was with Tamar, thought that she was a Zona. Further down, we have Mashiach, who is a descendant of David HaMelech, who is a descendant of Rus. And Rus was a descendant of what? She came from Moab. We learned a couple of weeks ago. Who was Moab? Moab was Lot. Not a great start. A very checkered past. Mashiach then descends through Shlomo HaMelech, whose mother was Bathsheba.
Could you explain some of the, how it's so irregular? I mean, you could have a little blip in it, but there were so many blips.
Yeah, hold on. Why does the Melech HaMashiach have such a checkered past, right? So, as if to underscore, the Gemara in Yevamos, it says, Matsasi David Avdi, I found David, my servant, Shtei v'nosecha hanimtzos, your two daughters who are present. The first pasuk refers, Rav Schwab says, to the exalted level of greatness of David HaMelech, and the latter to the fact that his ancestry was the product of the Avera that Lot committed with his daughters. So the reason for this, and consequently for the origins of Mashiach, is that every one of these ancestors of David HaMelech, and David HaMelech himself, who was involved in these questionable acts, did teshuvah for them. The road to Mashiach is paved with teshuvah. And so we can assume that Lot did teshuvah, for after all, he was a nephew of Avram Avinu. So how could Avram let him languish in a state of sin? Yehuda, tzadkam imeni, he tried to do teshuvah. David HaMelech certainly did teshuvah, as we know all of his writings in Sefer Tehillim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the future Melech HaMashiach as a person whose ancestry is replete with famous Bali Tshuva. The function of Mashiach is to make the whole world into Bali Tshuva. First, Klal Yisrael, and then to be the decent people among the non-Jewish world should also. This is expressed in the Tefillah that we just said at the end of Maariv in Aleinu. V'chol b'nei basar yikru b'shmecha. We take this for granted. I think the only day that I have this kavana sometimes is Rosh Hashanah, when we think about Malchus HaKadosh, being Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we think about it's not just me, I'm not the only one incarnating God, but Halavai, Chol Ba'ayolam, Chol B'nei Basar Yikru B'Shmecha, L'hafnos Yilecha Kol Rishay Aretz, that all of humanity should recognize, and we spoke about this also in the Hallelukas, in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, that this is not, it starts with Klal Yisrael, but the influence that we can have to enhance the spirituality in this world, that it should bring about a Bali Tshuva movement, first among the Jewish people, ultimately extending out to the Umos HaOlam as well. And so while the Melech HaMashiach himself, similar to David HaMelech before his debacle, will be Belichet, a righteous person who will be saved, he must have a connection with or an understanding of the special needs of Bali Tshuva in order for him to successfully institute a worldwide Tshuva movement. Kili Shu'ascha Kivinu Kol Hayom. This is interesting, because it's your salvation that we hope. So Rav Steinman Zatzal explains, Rashi in Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, what does it mean, Sipisa LeYeshua? Rav Schwab, we're going to get to, maybe hopefully, talks about one of the things that we have to, that we're going to have to answer for after 120 years. We go up to Shemayim, Hashem is going to ask us, new, Sipisa LeYeshua. Were you waiting for salvation, for Mashiach to arrive? So this is the bracha. So the Rav Steinman says, "Lafizeh, Masha Omam Kilishuas Lakivina Kol Hayom Hainu Liyude Hanaviim." It's to return, a return to the time of the Neviim. Right? We spoke about the Shoftim, a time when our mission in life and where Hashem is able to communicate directly to us through Neviim. Yesh La'ayin Im Kol Hayom Hakavana Shemetzapim Kol Hayom. When it says in this word, in this bracha, Kilishuas Lakivina Kol Hayom. Did you ever think, I'm lying a little bit? Here I am, I'm standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the one of the few times that I have to enter into his throne room. And I'm saying, God, I'm thinking, I'm worrying, I'm desiring and yearning for redemption all day long. Really? But what about like 2 hours ago when you were in the supermarket and when you were driving and sitting in traffic on the parkway, were you waiting for Mashiach, really? So then, Taka, you probably were, because you want to get out of traffic. But when you're at work, when you're talking to somebody, are you yearning for Mashiach? What does it mean? So, furthermore, Kol Hayom, we say, we're yearning for Mashiach all of this day. Harei tzarech letzapos b'chol yom, says Rosh Hashanah. We have to be yearning for it all day, every day. Ella, Hamachavan l'shnei dvarim. We're actually yearning for two things. Number one, demitzapim kol hayom, that we're waiting all day, uvechol yom, and every day. It's what David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, ma'ahavti torasecha kol hayom hisichasi, that all day long Torah is coming out of my mouth, is on the tip of my tongue. V'chimidaber al yom echad, says Rosh Steinman, is it referring to only one day? One day Torah is coming out of my mouth? All day, every day, I want to be learning Torah. V'haynu be'eshen iskarim, when we mention it, we're not actually yearning for Mashiach all day long. We also have other things we have to think of. Of Yichud Hashem, we have to think, well, there are lots of other mitzvahs. So when I'm thinking about putting on tefillin in the morning, I'm not yearning for Mashiach. I'm focused on mitzvah at hand. If I'm Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, when I'm reciting Kriya Shema, am I yearning for Mashiach? If you are, then you haven't been Yotze, because you have to have Kavanah for Kriya Shema. You have to have Kavanah for at least the first Brach of Shemona Esrei. So here I am, I'm thinking, I'm talking about Mashiach, but I'm in the middle of the Brach of Gevurah. I'm talking about Rifa'inu, and I'm yearning for Mashiach. Ein ha-Kavanah lachshav kol hayom aleihem. Rishtaimit says, it's not that all day you need to be focused and yearning for this. Kilishuas ha-kivinu kol yom. So there's a different pshat in the Medrash that we have to be yearning for it every day, kol yom, kol hayom, hanuscha hanachona. All, every day is the correct nusach. V'ha'omrim kol hayom, nira kemeyed eidah shaker be'atzmo. Right? If you say, kilishuas l'kivinu kol hayom, I've been waiting for you all day. It looks like you're lying. V'hinei anu tzvichim l'tzapo, so levake shiyavo Mashiach, aval tzarech l'das. De'la'achar shiyavo, that after Mashiach comes, ha'anashim yisharu b'madragasam. When Mashiach comes, things are going to freeze. So picture, let's just finish this, Shazachu l'hasig ad az, that you, as far as you're able to get in your closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that kirvas Hashem, of coming close to God, that's where it is. V'hanimtza bedarga nemucha yisharu k'moshehu. And if you're further back, that's where you're going to stay. Picture a person, we'll go back to the, what was his name? Joshua
Bell.
You're at a Joshua Bell concert. And you're sitting in the Meadowlands. So there's some people who are on the ground level. They've paid a lot of money, or they've practiced, and they've somehow gotten tickets. So they're really close. Other people, high up in the nosebleed section, they're actually able to get home. They can hop onto the helicopter that's hovering above. They can get home faster than everybody else. So what Rav Steinman is saying is that when Mashiach comes, that's going to be what happens to our spirituality. We're going to be frozen where we are. It's almost like Tchiyas HaMesim, right? A person is able to learn and do mitzvos and everything that we can do spiritually here. And the Achar Mei HaVi'asrim, after 120 years, we're at whatever we've done here, that's where we're going to have a corresponding spot up in the world to come. So the same thing happens with Mashiach. Wherever we are, when Mashiach comes, that's it. We have to work very hard to be able to grow and to grow closer. Kol Hayom, Schwab also says it doesn't mean every day, but rather the whole day. This means that our whole being is permeated with the hope for Yeshua Hashem. A very different explanation than what Rav Steinman gave, and I think Rav Steinman is perhaps more accurate. Right? I can't have this on my mind all day. There's so many things I need to have on my mind, even in Avodas Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem Atzmiach Keren Yeshua. Blessed are you, Hashem, who makes the horn, this power of salvation, spread forth. So Rav Steinman explains that which we say Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, not Matzmiach Yeshua. Why do we have to have this horn again? So we say in the Brach of Yotzer Or Matzmiach Yeshuos. We don't say Matzmiach Keren Yeshuos. Why do we have to have the Keren here, the horn here? So the Keren is something that extends outwardly. It's something that goes out. He also quotes the pasuk in Ki Karan Or Pnei Moshe. That Shahaya Boleid Ziv Mipanav Shiyotze Hachutza, that this light was just emanating from the face of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chilashamesh Yesh Karnei Or, does the sun have this kind of thing? Of course it does. The Hainu Chutz Miguf Hashemesh Yesh Karnei Or. There are solar flares. There are things that come off, that emanate off of the sun. V'chein Karnei Shor, and the horns of an ox also emanate from its head. Hudavar Nosaf, you can cut it off. The ox is still going to be able to live. It doesn't need it. It's not part of its integral component of its being. V'gam kan efshar lefaresh hakavana da Yeshua tia nikeres v'tivlot. We have to see that the Yeshua, that Hashem's salvation, should be able to extend. V'od yesh lomar shenim she minis. Sorry. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, that these massive stones, what is it, 30 amos big, right? Massive stones for the Beis HaMikdash. They've already been chosen, margolios, and precious gems, l'sharei Yerushalayim, that are going to adorn the gate of the holy city of Jerusalem. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us, the Yerushalmi, Shahayeshua tzomeches la'at la'at, that our salvation is going to grow slowly, a little bit at a time. Behind Karen Yeshua, Shahamaftsia es karnei HaYeshua, od lefnei HaYeshua. You could see, right, that little thing coming out. When you think of the curtains of the Mishkan, where the rods were protruding, you knew that's where the Kodesh, the Mishkan is coming, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is inside. Da'afal pisha dain einas HaYeshua, we don't have the actual redemption, the Geula has not yet arrived. Aval yesh kvar davar shemakrin ktsas. There's something a little bit, I can get a glimpse. Right? How many centuries the Klal Yisrael was deprived of the opportunity to daven at the holiest place in the world? We couldn't come close to Yerushalayim. We couldn't come close to Har HaBayis. Now at least we have one of the retaining walls of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. We have an image of what it looked like. We can see what the stones were and how powerful that is for us to be able to focus. Sometimes I close my eyes before I start Shemoneh Esrei and I think back to the last time I was there to be able to see the sun shining on the golden rocks of the Kotel. And to think that my tefillos, I should be able to transport myself mentally there, to be able to focus my tefillah that I'm not just here in Elizabeth, but I want to get through that whole rigmarole of the telephone wires under the Atlantic. Chas v'shalom, it gets cut. A boat chops over it with its anchor. I want to go straight there. And so this is really, I can see a glimpse. I can see what the Yerushalayim looked like. We can go with the historical places in Eretz Yisrael to be able to see what it was in its heyday. That is really what this is all about. Rav Aryeh Levin, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim, once received a letter from his son, Rav Chaim Yaakov, who was a rav somewhere in New Jersey. Your next assignment. Rav Chaim Yaakov Levin was a rav in New Jersey. He sent his father, Zichron Levracha, a letter inviting him to come visit for a month. Let him be mashpia, let him give shiurim and drashos. He was a wonderful, well-regarded gadol in Yerushalayim. He wanted him to be able to be mechazik, to strengthen the spiritual quality of whichever city here in New Jersey he was a part of. So he said no. Rav Aryeh said, I'm not coming. So his son invites his father to come visit. He says, no? Why? Why wouldn't you want to see his nachas? So he says, I can't. Maybe he's going to come in between while I'm there. So Rav Chaim Yaakov says, who's coming to visit you? You'll tell them. You'll tell your neighbors that you're here in New Jersey. He says, who's coming? It's Mashiach. And then I'm going to have to get on a flight. I'm going to have to wait to get back to Eretz Yisrael. You really feel it. You're waiting. Even though it's waiting, it waited his entire lifetime. And he still waited for it to come. Could be tomorrow. Might have to clear my schedule. Rav Zindel Salant, Yael's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, who we spoke about in Ela last year, said during Shemoneh Esrei, his Talmidim noticed that he would open his eyes, he would look around the shul. What's he doing? He's losing his concentration. What about his kavana? Why does he do this so often? So he says, Rabbi, why? What are you looking for? And Rav Zindel Zatzal said, before I say the bracha of Es Tzemach David, I think to myself, maybe Mashiach's already here. Maybe I was so focused on my Shemoneh Esrei that I didn't realize that Mashiach is here. So before I want to daven for Es Tzemach David, I want to daven for the future, I need to make sure that Mashiach hasn't already come. So I check my surroundings. Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehiras Atzmiach. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, as we said before, that Tzipisa LeYeshua is one of the questions that we're going to be asked. Hashem is going to ask us, you know, were you involved in having children in some way? Were you involved in ethical business practices? Were you involved in studying Torah on a consistent basis, on a regular basis? Were you able to learn? And were you able to be maven, davar mitoch davar, to really discern, to get into the amukra shel Torah? But also Tzipisa LeYeshua, were you waiting for Mashiach? So Rav Volbi Zatzal says that all of these things have one thing in common. whether it's referring to business, whether it's referring to family matters, Torah, Mashiach, Chachma. So Rav Schwab quotes from Yeruchim. I don't remember. The Mir Mashgiach, Yeruchim Levavitz. He explains that all these six questions are one question. How successful was a person in bringing to bear their potential to action, to see the fruits of their labor? Hashem gave us a neshama, a holy soul. Who knows how much kedusha, how much holiness is buried within it? But we have the power, we have this potential. And the task, the mission of a person, the tafkid of a person is lahotzi es kol ha'kachosav ha'elu al ha'poel. So nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. So a person could think that he's a big ma'amin. He believes in God. He has a lot of faith. Aval keshadvar megil masa matan lenikar shem davar me'emuna shalo. Hashem's in shul. When I go to work, I need to do whatever I can. It's my hishtadlus. I can cut corners. Hashem's not going to be influencing me here. He has emuna, but he doesn't believe that he has, that the emuna has any strength. So he has faith in God, but it's a little bit hollow. Kavati itim l'Torah. So we know there has to be time that we carve out for learning, for limud Torah. Asakta v'peri v'rivya. Were you able to have them, that emuna? Were you able to bring forth your life force to the next generation, to have a next generation? Tzipisa l'Yeshua. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, Parakid Aleph, HaMelech HaMashiach asid lamod l'hachzer Melchos David. So Melech HaMashiach is going to bring back the kingship of David, the Davidic throne. Ubonei HaMikdash u'mekabeitz nidcha Yisrael. Rebuild the base HaMikdash, gather in all the Jews in exile. V'chol mishenu ma'amin bo, o mishenu mechaka l'biyaso. And anybody who doesn't believe that this is going to happen or does not wait eagerly for its arrival, lo b'shar neviim b'vad hu kofer, he's not only a heretic against the neviim, against the prophets, el b'torah uva Moshe Rabbeinu. He himself is a heretic against the Torah itself. Im yismameya chakelo, the Navi Habakkuk tells us. If he's delaying, so we have to wait. Lo dai shehu mamin sheyavo pam hamashiach, elezak kol kach mitziuso etzlo, ad shehu mitzapa kol ayom liyeshua b'lisham yish. You have to be waiting. It's like, oh, I've been waiting so long, it's not going to happen. Right? We give up after a while. Things don't happen the way we want it to go. We give up. We can't give up on this. And so that's really the importance of tzipis liyeshua, is really not giving up, not giving up hope. There's always more to daven for. Rav Zilberstein's Shlita talks about, right, that time that those girls came to him and asked him for advice on how to get married. They were having trouble with shidduchim. They were getting older, and they did whatever they could. They'd been dating. They were, you know, whatever girls of marriageable age do to find a shidduch. Nothing was working. So they were exasperated. They were tired of having to wait. So they asked him, "What should we do?" So he said, "It's a good question. Let me ask my father-in-law, Rav Yashiv Zatzal." So he asked Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv said, they should daven. So he comes back to the girls on the day that they arranged to meet again, and he said, Rav Yashiv Shlita said, you should daven. And the girl said, "B'mechilas kavod harav, without defending you, you don't think that we've davened already?" So Rav Zilberstein said, "Yeah, I guess you have. But you have to keep davening. Because there's no tefillah that's alike. The tefillah that we daven tonight is going to be different, qualitatively different than the tefillah that we're going to daven tomorrow. The world is different. Our needs are different. Our headspace is different. We're not where we are ever. We're not ever in the same exact place. And so it's important to always hope. You know, the Torah that we learn tonight, so in my estzemach tomorrow, minus Mark having the what is the express, what do you call it? Fast food meal for Shacharis in the morning when you have to rush through davening. Tomorrow morning, your estzemach daven is going to be a little bit different than it was tonight and than it was this morning. And so who knows? Maybe that Estzemach has the power, along with the collective Zechuyos of Klal Yisrael, to be able to bring Mashiach that we just didn't have today. And so you can't give up. There's always that hope that it didn't happen yet, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And that's really what this bracha is all about. Be'ezus Hashem will continue next week.